help us to commence with hymn 293. Encompassed with clouds of distress, and tempted all hope to resign, I pant for the light of thy face, that I in thy beauty may shine. Disheartened with waiting so long, I sink at thy feet with my load. All plaintive I pour out my song, and stretch forth my hands unto God. 293.
May the Lord help us to read Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow, and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us each prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we plead thy mercy. For without thy mercy, thy almighty power can do nothing but devour, and we deserve it. We plead then for what we did not deserve. We plead, Lord, that thou, Almighty God, wouldst have to do with us this night in that way in which we shall be saved. Lord, compassion on us have, we pray. Come down and help us. We are completely dependent on thee. Make us each feel it if we do not. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. Lord, may we this night know something of that which thy servant Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, we pray, Lord, let our souls live. We're so dead. Lord, make us fruitful. We're so barren. Make us feeling. We're so hard. Lord, make us believing, we're so unbelieving. Make us holy, we're so unholy. Make us right, we're so wrong. Lord, open our eyes, we're so blind. Unstop our deaf ears. Make us walk, Lord. Yea, run in the way of thy commandments. We're so halt, so lame. Lord, have compassion then. Oh, help us to look up. We cannot do that without thy help. Lord, and it would truly be help if thou wouldst enable us now to look up. Lord, to give a sight by faith of thy dear Son at thy right hand, exalted a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and remission of sin. We pray for those two things, repentance and remission. Lord, in the fullness they come together. Lord, 'tis a sense of blood-bought pardon that dissolves the heart of stone. Lord, it is a sight of thee that makes a sinner mourn for thee and be in bitterness as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Oh, open our eyes to see thee, Lord, by faith. Bless this congregation tonight. Pour out thy Holy Spirit, that Spirit that we have each grieved, and therefore thou hast solemnly withholden him from us in such a great measure, so that, Lord, we see not our sign. Lord, there is so little power with the word. Lord, sin prevails. The world holds the affections. Self is not crucified. Idols are not cast away. Sin is not conquered. Lord, some of us feel it. Lord, we plead, return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn, drove thee from my breast. Lord, minister to thy people tonight. Make one thy messenger in thy message to them. Break the bread of life to the souls of the hungry. Lord, with joy may thy thirsty ones draw water out of the wells of salvation. Thou hast said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. O Lord, let thy thirsty ones come tonight to thee. O Lord, we pray. So bless the preaching of thy word. Grant the gospel that sinners may come, Lord, to thee. Oh, overcome those hindrances. Let the power of the Spirit be upon the word in the preaching of the gospel, so that the stumbling block shall indeed be taken up, and so that the iron bars and the brazen gate shall indeed be cut through. Thy people shall go free. Lord, oh, we plead. To the glory of thy name, Lord, this is thy purpose in it all. Lord, that thy name should be glorified. And Lord, in salvation there's nothing for us to glory in. That is, other than thee, we glory in thee when we are saved by thee. Lord, favour us tonight to glory in thee, as saved by thee. Lord, if thou, dear Lord, so base a wretch wilt save, then all the glory shall be down to thee. While here and when I reach beyond the grave, my soul shall sing salvation full and free. Lord, it must be full, because we cannot do any part of it. It must be free. For we have nothing to give thee, nothing but sin, Lord. Oh, we pray, nothing but love. May such feelings sinners receive tonight. Bless then, we pray. Oh, grant an hour that will not be quickly forgotten. Grant an hour, Lord, in which that will be done, which will never be undone. Lord, that is the point, is thy work. Lord, help thy people who, like David, are waiting to see what the Lord will do for them, who've come here tonight praying that thou wouldst do for them everything they need. O Lord, help us to fall into thy hands. Lord, what thou seest we need done, oh, do it. If there be those dead in sin, do that for them they need. Quicken them, grant them the new birth. If there be those careless, do that for them they need. Convince them of their sin. If there be those guilty sinners, do that for them that they need. Pardon their sin. Lord, if there be those harassed, tormented by the adversary, rebuke the adversary for them. If there be those, Lord, who are lost, find them. If there be those, Lord, that are in a tempest, still the storm. If there be those at a quandary, knowing not what to do, tell them, Lord, and enable them to do it. Oh, Lord. Oh, there be those filthy. Wash them, Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray. Might it please thee even in this house tonight to grant that sinners may be purged, that we may be washed from every sin in that fountain. All may it be opened unto us. And then, Lord, we know we shall be clean. We thank thee for thy mercies to us, safe journeys, thy abundant provision, thy long-suffering forbearance. What a mercy that we are out of a deserved hell. What a mercy we are here, not where we would be if we had been left to ourselves. And Lord, if there be those here and yet the work of grace has not been begun, yet still they are here. In thy overruling they are here and we thank thee for it. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Lord, that wonderful word, precious word, eternal word, the revelation of thyself. Lord, we thank thee for thy gospel. Lord, thy dear Son, who is the sum and the substance of it, and for thy Spirit, who is the revealer of it. Lord, we thank thee for thy everlasting love, thy counsels of old, which are faithfulness and truth. Lord, help us. We plead thy continued mercy. Bless Zion. Lord, bless this people here with true spiritual prosperity. Lord, let thy work appear here. It has done, Lord. Oh, may it appear more. Oh, Lord, do grant this people thy rich blessing, thy abiding, thy Spirit remaining. Lord, grant them a living ministry. If it is thy will, a pastor, according to thine own heart, who shall feed them with knowledge and understanding. Help their deacons. Lord, direct them. Help them to pray on, and the brethren and the sisters, both in the church and out of it. Lord, help this people to pray. Lord, then surely there will be those abundant answers in thy time and way. Look upon the afflicted. Help them, Lord, we pray. Heal them if it can please thee. Thou art Jehovah Rophi, the Lord that healeth his people. O Lord, put thy healing touch upon them. When thou hast accomplished thy purposes for their soul in these things, remember aged ones, Lord. Oh, we do pray for them. At evening time, may it be light. Take away the fear of death. Thou didst take our nature for this very purpose, that through death thou shouldst destroy him that had the power of death. Deliver them who through fear of death all their lifetime, subject to bondage. Bless each one of thy sent servants throughout the world. Help them to labour on. Lord, strengthen them. Grant them seed in their seed basket and the strength to cast it abroad. Lord, to go forth morning and evening, day after day, knowing not what shall prosper, this or that, or both alike. Lord, but do grant that prospering of thy word. We mourn that we see so little of it. We mourn that we see so much of the opposite. Lord, oh, have mercy on Zion. We're dependent on thee, Lord. Nothing we can do, and yet, Lord, that which we do of ourselves, it is against thee. It is against thy word. It is against thy work. O Lord, overcome that which we do, by working in us that to will and do of thy good pleasure. We plead again for our nation. Lord, at this critical time, Lord, in wrath remember mercy. Lord, our only hope is in thee. Thou art this night the Lord God omnipotent, who reigneth. It is by thee the government of this nation is in its place. It is by thee it has been preserved to this moment. Oh, we beg, have mercy on Britain. Though do in mercy direct our parliament in that way in which that which is right should be done. Lord, oh, could it please thee? We had that hope, Lord, that in June 2016 thou didst cause that result of that referendum. Thou knowest all that's taken place since. Lord, we plead, yet bring it to fruition. Yet deliver this land, if it could please thee, from that unscriptural and corrupt organization to which we are presently wedded. Lord, we would commit it into thy hand. Thou knowest that which is for the good of the land. Surely it is, though, Lord, that which is right. We beg then that, O Lord, we ask for the restraint of the evil. This that we've prayed for is but one part of that mercy which we need for this land. We beg for the overthrowing of the evil. We pray for reformation. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst return this country to the book, the word of God. Lord, one has read, thou knowest this day of thy servant John Knox, who pleaded by thy spirit in such a way as Scotland was greatly blessed. Lord, we believe he pleaded with thee, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. Oh, give to thy people that same wrestling power of thy spirit. Lord, according to thy holy will. Lord, thy truth, thyself, that blessed King, thy own Son may reign according to thy ancient promises, that in the days of the kingdoms of this earth, another kingdom should be set up. The king, a stone cut out of the mountain without hands, to break in pieces all those other kingdoms. We need thee, Lord, to do it in our own hearts. Break the kingdom of self. Break the kingdom of sin. Break the kingdom of Satan. Break the kingdom of the world. Lord, erect thy throne within our heart. We may say, like those men said to David, we are thine. We are on thy side. Peace, peace be unto thee. Forgive all we ask amiss. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1057. Light of those whose dreary dwelling borders on the shades of death, come and thy bright beams revealing dissipate the clouds beneath. The new heavens and earth's creator in our deepest darkness rise, scattering all the night of nature, pouring day upon our eyes. 1057.
in dependence upon the Lord and seeking his blessing, I venture to direct you this evening to the psalm that we read, Psalm 147, reading verses 2 and 3. It is in particular the third verse, and I believe the second is inseparably joined to it. Psalm 147, verses 2 and 3. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Whenever in the Word of God we read the exhortation to praise, or we read the cause for that praise, we read, don't we, in one place, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. What that means surely is this, that when the Lord does that which my text speaks of, then Zion will praise him for it. Praise waiteth for thee, O God. God will be praised. I mentioned, I believe, in prayer because it was with me earlier today. The primary thing in the mind of God, his own glory. What did his son say to his father as he approached the sufferings of Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and Golgotha? Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. Is there one here tonight? And it is the distressing question of your heart. Why ever would God save me? What I've just declared is the answer to that question, for his glory. And how abundantly and infinitely and eternally he is glorified in the salvation of his people. Through, as the Son said, the Father glorifying the Son, that the Son may glorify the Father. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the church of God. John in the Revelation on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I saw that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. The begotten church of God, begotten by the Holy Ghost, born again of the Spirit, new creatures in Christ Jesus. This is Jerusalem, the city of the living God. And no one can build it up but the Lord. Except the Lord build the city, they labour in vain that build it. For it is New Jerusalem. What does the Word of God say concerning the foundation stone of the New Jerusalem? The foundation stone is Christ. And what does the Word of God say the builders have done? They have despised, rejected the cornerstone. And that's not only true of the Jews, that is the unbelieving Jews who deny the Messiah. It's true of every religion except the Holy Ghost religion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father in truth. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. That foundation which God layeth in Zion, a stone, a precious stone, a sure cornerstone. And that building work upon that stone, as Peter speaks of it in his epistle, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, that ye may offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This building up of Jerusalem then is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Lord does build up Jerusalem. Why does he? Well, it's that point I mentioned just now. He will be glorified. He does it according to his will. He does it in his way. He does it in his time. My dear friend, oh, he exercises his church concerning this building work so that they are caused to pray for him to do it. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. But he does it in his way and in his time. And you know this building up of Jerusalem, it is sure building work. So this building is not always manifest by numbers. Down through the generations, there have been great congregations built up by men. And the Lord alone knows, and it will be clear in the day of judgment. But there have been those little congregations, haven't there? The little flocks. Now, what is it in the appearance here below that defines the true building of God? It is not the numbers. It is the type of stones. It is the manner of the building. What did Ezekiel see when he was shown by God the house of God? The first thing he was shown was the holiness of the house. When God buildeth up Jerusalem, it is a holy city that he builds up. Must be so. It couldn't be called the city of God, could it? If it were not a holy city. And who can do that? It's more than the work of any minister to make a sinner holy. It needs more than a few rites and forms and ceremonies. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. This is how he builds up Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built up with outcasts. They were outcasts. God taketh the outcasts and maketh of those outcasts a city. He gathereth together. Who are these outcasts? Who are they cast out by? Firstly, they are feelingly God's outcasts. When the Lord quickens a person by his Spirit and puts new life in them, begins to put grace in them, The grace that he puts in them, the life in them, is realizing, made to realize where they are with respect to Almighty God. Outcasts. Unclean people. You remember the leper. He was an outcast because of his leprosy. What cast him out? The law of God cast him out. By the law of God, he was not permitted into the congregation. He must live apart, an outcast. The Lord gathereth the outcasts. Oh, the wondrous grace of the Lord himself that was manifest, wasn't it, when the Lord was here on earth in the flesh. And a leper, a certain leper, a man that was full of leprosy, was gathered. The outcast was gathered. Gathered according to the promise concerning the Messiah. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And that one was brought to him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You see, this is the way of return for the outcast. This is the way of the bringing in of the outcast. Christ Jesus. Nothing, my dear friend, can overcome your sin. Nothing can overcome that condition that you're in whereby you're an outcast. But the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, he said. The Holy Spirit was at work there. The sovereign work of Almighty God. What did Jesus say when he was speaking of the sovereignty of God? He said many lepers were in Israel in the days of Elisha the prophet. But unto none of them was Elisha sent, but unto Naaman the Syrian, an outcast, a heathen, one of the enemies of Israel, an unclean Gentile. He was made clean. The Lord gathereth the outcasts of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet himself gives his testimony of that experience in which he was made himself to feel to be an outcast. But when, after he had seen the Lord high and lifted up, the Holy, Holy, Holy One, he said, woe is me, for I'm undone. Now the original meaning of that word undone in the original language is cut off. And that's the same as an outcast. I am cut off. I'm undone. Then flew one of the seraphim with a live coal from off the heavenly altar and touched my lips and said, this, the touch thy lips, thine iniquity is purged, thy sin is pardoned. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. The outcasts of Israel. Now, another thought comes to my mind concerning these outcasts of Israel. They are outcasts by the grace of God, outcasts of the world. David, the Lord's anointed king, how for years he fled from Saul. who sought to take his life. He felt in his soul's experience and life's pathway to be an outcast. Those men that went with him, those men that joined themselves unto him, who said unto him, "We are flesh of thy flesh and bone of thy bone." Again and again we find a company of people with David. Sometimes David was on his own. Sometimes, on that one occasion, Jonathan went to him, didn't he, and strengthened his hand in God. But I'm speaking now of that company. We read of them when David went down to the cave of Adullam. And some outcasts went down with him. Everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented came unto him, and he became a captain unto him, unto them, over them. He gathereth together the outcasts. You see, Christ was an outcast. And therefore his people must be outcasts. In every way, in every sense in which the Lord's people are made to feel outcasts, Christ suffered that to an infinitely greater degree than they did. Who was more cut off than Christ himself? Therefore, who was more outcast than Christ himself? He who is one with the Father and with the Spirit, in his exceeding humiliation, through taking our nature into union with himself and taking the sins of the church upon himself, doing that which he engaged to do in covenant, which was to be surety for these people, that means he must be the outcast. We find him in his path here below, communing with his Father in prayer. We find him pleading with him in Gethsemane. We find him as he was first hung upon that cross praying to his Father. Indeed, we find him throughout that, as it's recorded in the Psalms, praying unto his Father. But we find him from that sixth hour to the ninth hour in a cast out condition. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? That he should gather the outcasts. That's why he was cast out. He was cast out that in being cast out he should make atonement for his people's sins. How could God punish his Son as was necessary? How could the Son of God suffer for the sins of his people as was necessary? And he not feelingly be cast out from his Father's sight? Not possible. But you see, in that cast out condition, as the Spirit sets it forth, showing him suffering for sin, whether it be in Gethsemane, Gabbatha, or Golgotha, that's the place where the outcasts are gathered. They find one like they found David, in trouble in the cave of Adullam. So they find Christ in trouble in Gethsemane and at Gabbatha and at Golgotha. And the Spirit bids them flee unto him. For the Spirit shows them there is something immeasurably wonderful about the incarnate Son of God being the outcast. And that's something very wonderful, is that through that, sinners are saved. Through that, the law was fulfilled. Through that, sin was put away. Through that, the law was satisfied. Through that, sinners are given eternal life. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Let me set before you a scene that occurred again and again in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching as he did, and the effect it had upon the congregation. Paul speaks of it, doesn't he? It's the same in Paul's day when he was preaching Christ. To the one we are the savour of life unto life, and to the other we are the savour of death unto death. In Christ's day, the Jews, the unbelieving ones, the ones who solemnly, in the sovereignty of God, were left to the hardness of their heart, the ones that thought they knew it all, the ones who thought they were right, and Christ was wrong, oh, how they hated him. But where the Holy Spirit wrought in the heart of a sinner, we find the very opposite effect. There was a drawing to Christ. There was a coming. Why? There was a beauty beheld in him. Why, as he preached the gospel unto them, as they saw his wonders wrought, as the Holy Spirit came upon them and revealed to them in some measure who he was like a magnet to the steel. Oh, the Saviour is a magnet to the lost. The physician is a magnet to the sick. He who is the resurrection and the life is the magnet to the dead. Oh, he who put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, by the shedding of his precious blood. What an attraction to the guilty sinner. How is it with you, sinner? He gathereth the outcasts. You see, what do we find about the condition of those that were gathered to Christ? Was there anything in the religion of those people that hated Christ that could help those poor sinners that went to Christ? This was what gathered them to Christ, because he was the only one that could satisfy their souls. Just as it was with David, and everyone that was in discontent. Saul said to those people in Israel at that time, "This son of Jesse, will he give you fields? Will he give you vineyards? Will he make you captains of thousands and captains of hundreds?" Those wrought upon by the Spirit who are one with David don't want that. They don't want the vineyards. They don't want the fields. They don't want to be made captains of thousands and captains of hundreds. They want eternal life. They want a righteous rule. They want a good king. They want treasure which will not wax old. They want a better city that is in heavenly. The gathering then is of these outcasts. None can help but Christ. They're too bad for the religion of the Pharisees. My dear friend, these outcasts are outcasts not because they're so good. They're outcasts because they're so bad. My dear friend, are you an outcast tonight? There's not a man that's born of God but readily will say, "If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way." Now, what is it about Christ that gathers the outcast? It's this. He never has yet and never will turn away a sinner that comes looking singly to him. to the sinner who comes in whatever condition they come in. He will not say, now go away and make yourself a little better and come back. No. My dear friend, this one unto whom they are gathered, who heals the broken in heart, is a complete salvation. It's altogether of him. I mentioned to you that chapter 6 in the prophecy of Isaiah. Now, my dear friend, can you tell me where in that chapter the work of man appears? No, you cannot. And you won't be able to tell me where the work of man appears in any account in the holy word of God of the salvation of a sinner, because it isn't there. The work of man isn't there. The work of man has put that man in the condition where he needs the Saviour. And the work of man can't deliver him from it. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? God says, if the Ethiopian can change his skin, if the leopard can change his spots, then my people that are accustomed to do evil may learn to do well. They cannot. They cannot. No. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. You see, it's something more than a call. It's an effectual call. How many times, child of God, did you hear the outward call unto Christ and you didn't obey it? Why didn't you? Because this text must be fulfilled for you to obey that call. God to gather. The drawings. He says, doesn't he, in the prophecy of Hosea, I drew them with the cords of a man, with the bands of love. He gathereth. He goeth and findeth the outcast and bringeth them in. Lost sheep. Does he not leave the 99 and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he findeth it, he beareth it on his shoulders home. The sheep doesn't go home on its own feet. The shepherd beareth it on his shoulders. That's the gathering of the outcast. No sinner came to Christ on their own feet. Every sinner that comes to Christ comes carried by the Lord himself. What I mean by that is this. It's not the will or the strength of the creature that brings a sinner to Christ. What a word then tonight for the poor sinner in this congregation who longs to be among this people. Well, the text says he will do it. He gathereth the outcasts. Lord, bring me in. Lord, come to me. Lord, I'm such a foolish sheep. I know not the way. In that text that was really the basis of your first hymn this evening. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He gathereth the outcasts. He gathereth together. This is a united people. What a blessed thing is the unity of the Spirit. He gathereth together one place, the feet of Christ. Come to Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the spirits of just man made perfect. All these outcasts from Adam's day down to the present day. That great congregation. Numbers, sinners, do his throne surround. These were sinners once like you, but a full salvation found. Now he healeth the broken in heart. These outcasts are broken in heart. Those two things I have briefly spoken of concerning the outcast, it makes that one a broken-hearted one. If you really have been given to realize you're an outcast from God because of your sin, separated from him, feelingly cut off, when from his word pours condemnation in his dealings with you, seems to be nothing but condemnation, and you're cast out. What a broken-hearted sinner you are. Broken in heart. Right within you. Oh, this isn't a broken voice. This isn't a broken face. This isn't a broken appearance. This is brokenness of heart. Oh, deep within. Sometimes it can't be hidden from outside observers, although, of course, it's only the child of God, given the help of the Spirit, who will discern what it is. But how often a person is broken in heart when there's no appearance of it on the outside. But what is an indication to a discerning child of God, a mother or a father in Israel? What is the thing that begins to make us think there's a broken-hearted sinner somewhere? We find them being gathered. We find them coming into the house of God in a different way. We find them coming into the house of God more regularly. We find them coming in bowed down. We find them with a different spirit upon them. We find them, with something written on their face. Brokenness of heart. He healeth the broken in heart. You see, what they are given to feel is what I mentioned concerning Isaiah. I am undone. Not only are they a sinner, not only have they broken God's law, but they know they cannot keep it. They know that there is no remedy within them. They know that there is no hope within them. They know that they deserve eternal judgment. They know that there is no soundness in them. David in Psalm 51, he was given the sacrifice of God. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. What an outcast that man was. You see, my dear friend, we've got to become outcasts. If we're going to be built up, we're going to be healed. That man David couldn't be healed until he was an outcast. Oh, he thought he was the righteous one. When the parable of the man with his little ewe lamb is set before him by Nathan, he rises up. David's not the outcast. The man in the parable is the outcast. He shall surely die, he said. But when Nathan said to him, thou art the man, David becomes the outcast. David's no longer in his mind the King of Israel, the anointed King of Israel. He's no longer in his mind a child of God. He's a wretched, undone sinner. And when you really feel that, you're broken in heart. What does he say? This is the language of the broken-hearted one. He had sinned, especially against Uriah, taking the man's life. What does the law of God say concerning us if we take a man's life? It says our life should be taken. If we shed man's blood, man must shed our blood. But David realized he had done something worse than sinning against Uriah. This is the broken heart. Against thee, and thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight. Against my Creator, against the God who made me, against the God who has fed me, against the God who gives me breath, against the God who has spared my life. And with regard to a man like David, who had previously had many, many deliverances, who had previously had many, many blessings, and to sin like that, we're not saying that he sinned worse than us. With regard to outward things, perhaps, with regard to the majority of us, concerning outward sin, we haven't gone to those lengths he's gone, but we're just as bad in our hearts. Adulterers and murderers in our heart, and that is against the law of God. That is against God himself. And when you have been blessed of God, and then you've sinned against him. Oh, I recently spoke to my people at home concerning that word in Jeremiah 3, where the Lord says, "Turn, O backsliding children, for I am married unto thee. Thou hast sinned against thy husband." What a gross sin. And yet in that word, "I'm married unto thee," is the ground upon which the Lord has his people back. The indissoluble bond of marriage. He healeth the broken in heart. These broken in heart then he heals. He has broken their heart. He broke it that they might come to him in this way I've tried to set forth this evening, begging his mercy, pleading his salvation, looking singly to him. How does he heal the broken in heart? Now, first thing is, my dear friend, about this healing, it is real healing, complete healing. Effectual healing. This is no patching up of the case. This is no covering over of the wound. This is real healing. How is it? Well, what do we read in Isaiah 53? "He healeth the broken in heart, and with his stripes we are healed." David's adultery, murder, and every other single sin that David committed, David's Saviour, his greatest son, the incarnate Son of God, of whom David was just a faint type, he suffered, he bled, he died for those sins. That's what Isaiah meant, or rather the Spirit, through Isaiah, by his stripes. Through Christ being that outcast, smitten, wounded, bruised. The whole wrath of God for the sins of this church poured upon him in one unremitting shower. He healeth. Now, this speaks of the character and the person and the work of this healer. He is God and man in one glorious person. For were he not man, he could not bear those stripes. Were he not man, all the power of the love, the mercy, the grace, the power of the blood, the power of the righteousness could not come to these sinners. To heal the broken in heart, the Son of God must be broken in heart. And how could he be but by taking our nature into union with himself? But how could he bear that if he were not God? My dear friend, the Lord knows why I preach like this. It's not because of any other reason than I know this, that only the God-man can heal broken hearts. That's how my heart has been healed. And that's why I preach this blessed one. I need it again myself. You see, the whole wound of man, all his dreadful condition, can only be remedied by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What a complete remedy that is. Where in this healing of the brokenhearted is there anything of the creature? There isn't anything. Oh, my dear friend, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is this mystery of the healing of the broken in heart. But my dear friend, it's this. This is the fundamental truth. If everything concerning which you're broken-hearted, if everything was born by Christ, and if you are his, it was so, and that is made over to you, what a complete healing that is. You're broken in heart because you cannot keep the law of God. What can heal that but the keeping of the law of God for you? And that is what God proclaims in the gospel. God required the obedience of the law of his own dear Son. Are you brokenhearted, my dear friend, as you come in here tonight? Because this day you've broken the law of God. You haven't lived as you ought to live. You've forgotten God. You've spoken what you ought not to speak. You've thought what you ought not to think. You've looked in a way you ought not to have looked. You've walked in a way you ought not to have walked. And all your omissions. Oh, my dear friend, the omissions. Now, when that's really felt, there's a brokenness of heart. And as I said just now, the realization, and how often this heart is broken after a period. The breaking of the heart often takes place over a long period of time. And what is it breaks the heart? What is it God uses to break the heart? Well, if you keep trying to be better and you don't get better but worse, that's God breaking your heart a little more. Isn't there an account of a man, and the name of the title given to the account is Broken to Shivers? Through the path he'd walked, the temptations, through the falls he'd made, through the enemies within and the depravity he's made to feel, he's broken to shivers. That's the condition of a sinner that God gathereth. That's the outcast he gathereth to the blessed Jehovah Rophi. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, not only is that heart broken because you haven't kept the law, but you see there's that great mountain of guilt. The heart that's broken. Oh, the feeling, sense of this guilt before God. And the realization one day you're going to have to give account for it all. And you're feeling, Lee, in your soul giving account for it now. And it breaks your heart. Now, it needs more than the obedience of the Saviour in his life to heal that wound, to heal that heart. But oh, my dear friend, this physician has this remedy. God has this remedy. And what is it? All those transgressions of the sinner were laid upon Christ. Sinner who's brokenhearted tonight because you see hell before you. The blessed Spirit point you to Calvary. See the Saviour enduring hell on the cross. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, he said. Christ did not enter the bottomless pit. He endured hell here on this earth. Now here's the immense magnitude of this matter. Here is that which is hidden from all prying eyes. Here is that which only God is privy to. But he reveals it by his Spirit, and that's when the healing is done. He healeth. You see, if Christ suffered for your sin, you will not suffer for it. You cannot. If God punished Christ for your sin, he won't punish you. This broken-hearted person, one of the things they're broken-hearted about, mysteriously, is a hard heart. Because even in the midst of this broken-hearted condition, they do not feel to have a heart like wax. They do not feel to grieve over their sin as they ought. They do not feel to know that which God promises his people. They shall look on me whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him. This is part of the brokenheartedness. And the healing of that condition is part of the healing. You see, nothing can overcome the thing that makes a sinner unfeeling, but the application to their heart of that which dealt with the sin, of that unfeelingness. God says, I will take away the heart of stone and give unto you a heart of flesh. When does he do that? In a measure it's done at conversion, at the measure it's done in conviction. But the fullness of it is done when Christ crucified is revealed to that sinner. He healeth the broken in heart. Now the work of the Spirit in this. Because when this text says the Lord, it means the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And when it says He healeth, it means the eternal three. Oh, the love of the Father in this healing. It was the Father that commanded His Son to go to Calvary. It was the Father that held His servant, chose him, sent him. It was the Father that smote him for that, for the sins of His people. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that reveals Him. You see, isn't this part of your broken-hearted condition, sinner? In fact, you're not broken-hearted if you're not made to realize you cannot of yourselves lay hold of the pardon, the healing. Now this text therefore bids the sinner who is feelingly unable to lay hold of the blessing, who reads of Christ's death and their heart remains hard still, who hears of the blood running down for those wounds, and still his guilt is on his conscience, he gathereth the outcasts. Blind Bartimaeus. He sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, he cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and called him to him and said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" "Lord, that I might receive my sight." What is that in a spiritual sense? It is a sinner asking the Lord Jesus to give him the Holy Spirit to reveal himself. "Lord, that I might receive my sight, that I might see Jesus by the eye of faith." Because when you do, you'll be healed. One look from him will make you whole. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. His word is a healing word. This was the faith of the centurion, wasn't it? Speak the word only. Sinner, broken-hearted sinner tonight, the Lord help you to prevail with him. Speak the word only, Lord. If the Lord Jesus say to you, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," there's healing in that word. If, as I said just now, he show himself, there's healing in that revelation. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds, margin their griefs. If you're a child of God, you'll have many wounds. You'll be a wounded sinner till you get to heaven. Because till you get there, you'll have that which causes wounds. The sinful nature causes wounds, griefs. The devil causes wounds, griefs. The hiding of the Lord's face causes wounds, griefs. Fellow men cause you wounds, griefs. The hymn writer said, doesn't he, from sinner and from saint, he meets with many a blow. But my dear friend, it's not doing us any harm. If the Lord, by those wounds we receive, put us in a condition where we really need this binding up of our wounds. I look back, my dear friend, over a little experience through the years and wonder at the patience of the Lord and marvel at the way he has overruled things. So that no weapon that is formed against us prospers. And every tongue that rises against us in judgment, he condemns. But how is it? It's only as we are brought to flee to this blessed one in my text. And he speaks to us. And look at the compassionate and nurse-like, if I may put it like that, way in which he speaks here. He bindeth up. His own hands do it. That good Samaritan, he came to that poor man that had fallen among thieves. He looked upon him and had compassion on him and went to him. And poured in the oil and the wine. Bound up his wounds. He was the only one that could do it. If you got wounds, griefs in connection with your soul, the truth, eternity, God, only he can bind them up. He does so in compassion. He does so mercifully, faithfully, graciously. Oft as sins my soul assail thee, turn thy eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing less than this can heal thee, seal thy peace, or do thee good. Seek no healing but from Gilead's sovereign balm. Oh, if he say to your grieved soul, I am thine, what a binding up of your wound. Is there one here tonight and the grief and the wound is, from whatever quarter it's come from, you're out of the secret. You're not a child of God. Christ didn't die for you. You're a hypocrite. You're an apostate. If the Lord tells you the opposite, if he declare, I am thine and thou art mine, I have redeemed thee, I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. If the grief is a fear of what lies before you, if he speak a promise, what a healing up of that wound, that grief. And on that promise, the sinner may go forward with assurance, with confidence. He bindeth up their wound. David prayed for it in Psalm 51, didn't he? How grieved that man was. He asked the Lord to heal the bones. which the Lord himself had broken, to restore his soul. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ridout is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Jabez Rupp next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 399. Amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. 399.
thank thee for thy word, for the truth as it is in thee, Lord Jesus. Do bless it to us. Forgive all of ourselves. Blot that out. Keep us safe. Grant us safe journey. Grant us thy help, thy presence, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Be with us. Amen.